The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria, Inc. 6 minutes past the hour. Welcome to the last 1 hour of the show, the Morning Crossfire for today. And as promised, we are going back to our ASUU strike conversation. We've had ASUU on this show, we've had SANU on this show, and these are university unions, you know, taking part in this strike, separate strikes as a matter of fact. The main conversation has been like in the public space, which is, of course, about ASUU strike. I'm Sherif Quadri. Welcome to the show. From now to 9 o'clock is going to be, our conversation is going to be based on that development. Feel free to join. If you're a student and particularly interested in how you've spent your time, that you started February 14 when the strike commenced. I'd like to exactly get, you know, what you've done with your time within this period of time, because we're not sure when the strike will be over. We're hearing quite a number of things are playing out. It's been 5 months and 5 days since February 14 that ASUU embarked on the ongoing strike. And you know that Nigerian universities and the public universities have Nigerian students rather in public universities are worried and asking whether, number one, the call on President Muhammadu Buhari to end the industrial action by directing the Minister of Education, Ademu Adamu, to execute the renegotiated agreement, whether this would take effect, or we'll all be hoping that ASUU will sympathize with the people on the prolonged strike, whether ASUU would, you know, say, okay, it's taking too long because of students and the university community, let's Kukuma just end the strike. As President Buhari, you know, lamented in recent statements, saying that truly enough is enough for keeping students at home. Don't hurt the next generation, for goodness sake. That's me quoting President Muhammadu Buhari. You know, I'd like to know if you think it appears as though President Muhammadu Buhari just realized the negative effect of a prolonged strike. Because a news that came out this morning seem to want to be underscoring that he may personally get involved in a negotiation with the trade unions and the universities. Anyways, last week, Monday, 11th of July, President Muhammadu Buhari expressed a fear that these strikes that we always have via the academic side of universities would have negative consequences on families, the education system, the university community, because the economy of the universities and the development of the country as a whole. He expressed this reservation, you know, last week, Monday, 11th of July, to be very precise. According to PMB, the strike has taken a toll on the psychology of parents, students, and other stakeholders. Now, ASUU is appealing to Nigerians to ask the president when the president and the government of Nigeria will sign the agreement reached at the just concluded renegotiation meeting, saying enough can't be enough until the president himself does the needful by salvaging the university education in Nigeria. Gbolahan Olajide is here. He's a known public commentator. He joins me in the studio now. Gbolahan, thank you and good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. It's nice to be here on your program.
Let's begin with the introduction that I just made, the statement of the president on ASUU strike. When you heard that statement, what crossed your mind? Enough is enough.
That he was just saying one of those things he likes to say about literally everything. Comments that has probably no weight behind them and no strong intentions to do anything, really. Until it decides to step into that space and actually do something. Otherwise, those statements don't mean anything. They are not different from statements like we condole with, we will leave no stone unturned, we commiserate with, we sympathize with. They're just statements.
You don't think that if he feels, you know, responsible, or he feels affected by the strike, or he knows the import of the strike, the effect, the consequence of this prolonged strike?
He used to know it. In 2014, one of the commercials for the campaign of the current president in 2014, there was a particular one where he said it was dedicated to ASUU. He said any serious government would not allow the students to stay at home for this long. That any serious government will have taken this much billions and discussed with ASUU and end the strike. That was what he said in 2014. So it is now 2022. He's the one in saddle. Can someone play that same commercial for? I still saw it on YouTube very recently. Somebody should play it for him so that he can understand the reason why we need to bring this to an end. I am not underplaying the complexities of the ASUU negotiation. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm only saying that we've been here over and over and over and over again. And that by now, we should be able to know how to deal with this thing. And beyond dealing with the immediate part of it, because there's an immediate part. That immediate part is that after a while now, they will sign this agreement. And then they will go back to work. But there is never a subsequent part. Because there is never a subsequent part, part of what they sign now, they will renege on it somewhere along the line. We will be back to this
and
same
we'll
point
be back here
in a few months' time. Even if it is signed today, 6 months, 8 months, maybe if we're lucky, 1 year, we will be back to this same point.
What does that make of us? What does that say about us? Going rounding cycles. What does that say about us?
It shows that we are not willing to confront some of the issues that are involved. It's a fairly complex
problem. We're not willing or we're not able.
There's nothing like...
We don't have the capability of confronting those things, at least for now.
We do have the capabilities. And that's why I said it's a fairly complex space.
Okay.
We've been striking if striking is the right word to use, in that sector for at least 35 years. It's not as if certain gains have not been made. Certain gains have been made. But some of the gains that were even made have been rubbished along the line. And that is, you see, at the heart of this problem is the fact that the funding model has not been working. It has collapsed for a long time. There was an attempt to rebuild that along the line, the 2011 TET Fund Act, which repealed the Education Tax Act and then replaced it with TET Fund, was part of the success of all these issues, to find a functional model to finance education, especially tertiary education. But apparently, that has also been... might have been hijacked along the way. So without being able to confront that monster of funding, how do we fund tertiary education? We will be in this cycle forever.
You know, I've heard this argument before, and I was talking to a very respected professor the other day, and we went back and forth on the funding model and everything. And I asked him, I said, look, Prof, if we're not so sure about the model to using funding, can we copy some model that we can adopt into our system? And if it's working, especially, we don't have to go to Europe or America to go and copy their model, because
we don't have to.
I mean, we have neighboring countries, you know, that we can copy their models, you know, to fund, to use in public universities. And let me hear, what's your thought on that? I mean, if we're confused as to what model to use.
Yeah, it's part of the work that I don't think we're willing to put in. Part of the work is to actually look at various working models across several jurisdictions and see what we can take and adapt to our own peculiarities, because they might not fit exactly. Tertiary education funding is working in America. It's working in the Scandinavians, but their models are totally different.
That's right.
You know, and what we work for Nigeria will also be different, but we can see what is working in all this jurisdiction, then look at the peculiarities of our own environment and see how we can create our own. That ASUU is the academic people now.
That's right.
How we can create our own model that will serve us. What we currently have is not serving It's not service.
How would you describe tertiary education in Nigeria? I mean, because we can't separate funding from quality of education.
Of course.
How would you describe that?
The quality obviously has been going down.
You went to Nigerian University.
I went to Nigerian University.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have experience of both.
On both sides.
Yeah.
You know. And what I can see is that the quality is going down. It's getting tougher for the students and for the lecturers as well. You know, the lecturers that taught me in school were actually comfortable. They were comfortable. And I'm not so sure if I can say that of the majority of the lecturers that we have today in the public sector. Except for those who have other sources of income. Mm. And there are some that have other sources of income, you know. But there are also those who are probably just focused on this teaching because it's a profession.
That's right.
You know,
that's
and right. It should be enough. Way back when I studied in the U.S., I was privileged to work in a department in the school called Institutional Research. Mm. Institutional Research was the custodian of the entire university data. Mm. So from salaries to how many Hispanics are teaching them, I had access to all those information. Mm. And it opened my mind a little bit to certain models, you know, that we don't even, for example, in an American university, teachers are not even remunerated the same way. It's not like, okay, because I'm lecturer two, therefore everybody gets the same. No. The highest grossing lecturers in that school where I went to were a professor of finance and a professor of mathematics. And it has to do with the demand
of their job.
Of their jobs and the courses that they're taking. You see, societies need to define the kind of skills that they need and the kind of skills that they will be needing.
Hmm.
And it also forms part of the input into curriculum development, into the training of the teachers and all of those. It's not just a bush, a wilderness where everything goes. That is not how university educations are pushed. You know. So it's a fairly complex place.
Let me go to what Asu said to Mr. President. When Mr. President says enough is enough and all of that. As you said, for the records, Mr. President, enough will not be enough in the struggle of reposition, in the struggle to reposition the public university education in Nigeria under this present administration and beyond. As long as the Nigerian public universities are reduced to glorified secondary schools for the production of poor quality and globally uncompetitive, rejected and unemployable graduates.
Oh my God.
This is why I asked you the question earlier about the quality of education. The lecturers themselves,
they know.
They have admitted that our graduates are poor quality. They are globally uncompetitive. They are rejected. They are unemployable. My goodness me, Golan.
Let me share with you a couple of very sad experiences I had with some of the academics in our environment. I won't mention names of particular schools. We had a transaction with a particular teaching hospital, and the HOD of radiology of that place, who also was a student in that same place some years ago. He said when he was a student, there were 13 equipment rooms. And that all the 13 had the equipment necessary for the kind of training that they need to give the students.
13 years ago.
That was several years ago.
Several years ago.
There were 13 equipment rooms. And they all had the right equipment. Computer, tomography, scanners, everything that you need to teach the student. As at that day that we were speaking, only two of those rooms had the right equipment. So he said, now we teach people without the equipment. So these people will graduate, they have never been on those particular equipment before. And I doesn't know what the quality of what those kind of graduates are going to be. Another one was even more scary. He said he had gone to watch his student or people under him doing certain procedures. Mm. And when he got there, he saw what they were doing. He was very scared. And he was very scared because even what they were doing had to do with lives as well. So those are, so we sit across tables and interview people. And you're wondering what exactly is going on in this space. It is very, very bad. It is also fast becoming what we have in the case of, say, the Nigerian police. So you go to school now. Somebody, a student, I saw a student who was saying, now students have potties in their rooms.
Excuse me?
Yes. They have potties in their rooms because you can't even go to the toilet. Don't even think about it. So they poo-poo in their potties in their room and carry it to the, and that is what everybody does.
Oh my goodness.
So you can imagine the kind of product that will come out of institutions like that. They are not just the academically bankrupt. There's also a psychological debasement, sort of, that has happened to those kind of students.
So our tertiary institutions not only deprive them academically, also deprive them mentally, psychologically.
Mentally, the classrooms are horrible. The teaching environment is, there are leaking roofs. I've gone to a theater in a university before where the roof, where they were bucket, there were bowls. There were bowls. Is this a university? You know, so it's a very serious matter. And come to think of it, government will tell you today, and which is real, this 2022 education budget is the fattest ever. Mm. 1.2 trillion is the budget of Nigeria for education this year.
That's right.
And it's the fattest ever. But does it go round? Is it enough for the problem we need to solve? Are we even solving the right problems in the first instance? You know, because starting from the teachers to the curriculum to the education infrastructure, there are issues, major issues that are out there. Coming to the involvement of other parts of the society in the funding, from the corporate societies to, apart from budgetary provision and say dedicated taxes like debt fund, there are other parties, the alumni, the corporate organizations, individuals, the endowment funds, all those things. I know we're doing them to a certain level, but they are not particularly well-structured for most of the universities.
You know, when we return, we'll talk some more about some allegations that, I don't know how to put this, but I'm going to be very mild, as mildly as possible. Let me put it this way. You know, that the university lecturers are only fighting for their pockets and not for the interest of the university environment itself. I mean, I hear that almost every time as a strike comes up, and the university lecturers are always saying that, look, go around the universities yourself and assess what is on the ground, because it's part of what they are also, you know, fighting for. And of course, another area we'll look at is, should the universities be self-funding in Nigeria? What do we need to do to get to that point? Lagos, stay here with us. We'll be back.
This is an infomercial.
I want to assume that you would run, because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired. it's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.
Let's talk.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Lagos, Nigeria. Good morning to you. Thank you again for staying tuned to our conversation this morning. ASUU strike is on the front burner again. It's everywhere in the news this morning. Since last week, it's been prominent in the news. And like we said, we would be, of course, talking about this issue as long as we can. Let's have you know that you can join the conversation right now. I would love to talk to students. I would love to talk to lecturers as well. If you're one of these two groups of people, feel free to call in and let's know what you think about this strike action and what you've been doing with your time. If you're a lecturer in any of the universities or polytechnics or college of education, because I know that you're affected by one thing or the other in those areas as well, feel free. If you're a member of NASU or SANU, feel free to also call in and let's talk about this ongoing strike action. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Bwana Olajide is here with me in the studio this morning. We'll take a few calls before we continue with our conversation this morning. Hello, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Sheriff. I'm not a student, I'm a lecturer, I'm a parent. Okay. I have my son there.
All right.
Yes, I have my son there. And, you know, it is nothing to say any other than sad. Because, and what I think they are technically doing, they are trying to, like, kill this public school so that they can market their own upsurging private schools. I give you an instance. My pain is that, you see, my son has been in the university since, I think, 2019 or thereabouts, or,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
And, of course, he's supposed to have even graduated by the way of time, maybe if not last year or early this year. Now, a mate of his who went to private university is going for NYC now.
Oh.
That is even on a lighter note. I had another cousin, you know, whose son also has been in university since 2017.
Oh,
just
wow.
Because of this. So, I mean, it is sad. If it's NNPC, NUPENG, PTD, petroleum tanker driver, that says they are going on strike, I give you, in less than 24 hours, they will call it off.
Hmm.
I mean, if it's NURTW, that say they are going on strike, in less than 24 hours, they will call it off.
Hmm.
I mean, what are ASU demanding that is too much? Hmm. A professor earning 500,000, 1 million.
Less than 500,000. Thank you so much for calling me, appreciate it. Let's take another one. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Morning to you.
Hey, Mr. Sheriff, my name is Anthony.
Welcome.
I'm calling
Anthony.
From Adebalakwe.
Welcome.
Yes, sir. I want to talk about this ASU strike. It's very, very bad. I wrote down this year. I cannot proceed. I don't like it. My mate took the road last year. Cannot proceed.
Hmm.
All of us, we are just at home. We are looking at each other.
Hmm.
Very bad.
Hmm.
So they give us that difficult jump to ride. No school to enter.
I mean, I feel your pain. Like after burning the
night candles
and everything, and then at the end of the day, you couldn't get into university. Oh yeah, I know. I really do. Good morning to you.
Hello. Good morning, Mr. Sheriff.
Good morning to you.
I'm going to be anonymous.
That's fine. Okay. That's fine.
Okay, so I got admission to University of Port Harcourt 2016.
Okay.
I want to tell you now that I'm currently still in school. Not because I failed, not because I had carryover or anything, but because our institution have failed in their responsibility. And I'm still in school. I'm in my finals now. I was supposed to finish before that February, but my school, due to their slow scheme, we had to wait for the newly admitted students to like catch up with us. So
right.
We had to wait for them.
Right.
So that was the reason why we were unable to
graduate
our second semester. So and now I'm at home waiting and seeing how they are playing the game. You know, it's quite funny that they are talking about election now when we are at home. I don't want to like ring my like blow my trumpet or something. I like in my faculty I'm like one of the best there.
Okay.
But I can't imagine. I'm studying a 5-year course.
Okay.
But currently now you can calculate it's almost 7 years. Is that my fault?
No, it's
okay,
not.
Okay, if we had an institution that is working, you know, I can even sue the government because they played me. We had a contract. I'm supposed to study for 5 years. You failed. You failed in that.
Anthony, anonymous writer. Thank you. Sorry. I thought you were done. Sorry. I really apologize. Let's take one more. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Mr. Shea, good morning.
Morning to you, madam.
Please, my name is Jamaka.
You're welcome.
We are talking about university. What about the secondary school?
We'll get there later. Let's not deviate, please. We'll get there. I mean, we know that we have issues with our schools. But Amaka, thank you. Good morning to you.
Yes, please. Good morning.
Morning to you.
Yeah, Jonathan. I didn't know that you were not talking about that.
It's okay.
I just like that last caller said. I think ASUU to also start thinking of instituting a suit against the federal government. Mm. Honestly. I think they need to toe that route so alongside the protests they are doing. Mm. And I feel very disappointed in all the affiliation, TUC, NLC. I feel highly disappointed in all of them because they have been ranting that they want to join in all this while.
Mm.
They refused. And they are also not placing priority on education in this country. And I also want to talk to guidance of all the students. I think it's high time they form a front.
Mm.
Other parents or guidance form a single front and also join this fight. Enjoy your morning, Sherry.
You too, Jonathan. Well, now let's take it from what Jonathan said about ASUU suing, possibility of ASUU suing the government. Well, ASUU spoke about that possibility, and this is what the ASUU national president, Professor Emmanuel Shedeke, said. He said, on our withheld salaries, if we decide to take them to court, they will mock us by getting their smart lawyers and the case will be adjourned for years. Then it will go on to the appeal court. On the issue that concerns our members, this government will leave and will be in court for years. In other words, there is nothing going to court. They are ready to wait and use the instrument that they have, which is the strike action.
It's a smart approach. Because the fact is what they have just said. When you go to court, apart from the fact that you don't know when this case will eventually be concluded, when the case is concluded, there is still the execution of the judgment.
Mm.
The execution of the judgment will bring them back to that table. Okay, you said we should go and pay this much. Okay, we don't have money now.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Oh, okay, yeah. So it's better to take this approach, resolve it, and be able to at least resume. I believe that the ASUU issue is not a one-phase closure. You do something now, you resume, but don't leave it as that. You must come back to the table and have a more comprehensive discussion on how you want to ensure that you will not be back in this position again. Otherwise, we'll be back there.
Yeah. Talking about phased resolution, Buhari's government has paid 92 billion naira to cover end allowances and revitalization funds to federal universities. The federal government had agreed to inject about 1.3 trillion for the revitalization of public universities, like building new hostels, faculties, building infrastructure generally, and making sure that, you know, universities function the way universities should function. 1.3 trillion budgeted for it. This was to come in 6 tranches, though, starting from 2013. So the government at the time released the first tranche of 200 billion in 2013, but they failed to release 220 billion each year for the 5 subsequent years as agreed in that agreement. So part of the factor surrounding the strike is that largely it revolves around the failure of the government to meet to meet up with the renegotiated 2009 agreement it reached with ASUU. On the funding part, Bolan, should our universities be self-sustaining, self-funded? And if we have to go that route, what are those steps that we need to take?
You know, when it comes to funding, we have to be very careful about all this agreement. Any funding that is to be made via budgetary provision is subject to that budget in itself.
That's true.
So if the budget is not enough to accommodate it, or if my priorities change, there will be issues. So you 2013, which is part of what the government is also latching in on, but you negotiated with a different government too, not me. Now, as I am looking at my own numbers, I can't afford that thing that
let's renegotiate.
That is part of the problem. You know, now you talk about self-sustaining. Yes, self-sustenance is at the heart of what will stabilize this issue. So how do we get to self-sustaining? There is a budgetary provision which will always be up and down based on the budget of the government. There's things like that are more stable, like the TET fund. We must begin to ask questions, what happened to the TET fund? The universities are also represented on the board of the TET fund. Is TET fund still functioning as it's supposed to be functioning, or has it been hijacked? If it has been hijacked, can we take it back for the purpose for which it was designed? Now, budgetary provision plus things like dedicated fund, like TET fund, will provide certain level of stability. But beyond that, we now need to look at all the other dimensions.
Right.
Number one, you look at things like the alumni. If you take, according to UNILAG now, that they said they have close to 60,000 students. It means that the university that was, let's take the first set of universities. They are at least 50, some of them are about 60 years old today. So those universities that are about 60 years old will have nothing less than 100,000 alumni members. Some of these alumni members are looking around for where to put money. People want to give back. Some universities are already doing this. They are in close to, they have fairly strong alumni, whatever. But then, it is still not as well-structured as it's supposed to be. I did my bachelor's there, so I went to one of these primary, one of those earliest universities as well. Nobody has reached out to me. It doesn't mean that even if you say, well, can you give 100,000 naira every year to us? I may be able to afford it. You don't know. So let's be able to put some structure around getting funding from alumni in more than what we are doing right now.
Right.
There are enterprises. There's nothing that stops a university from having businesses. Is there? I'm not aware. And some of them already do. They have their water, they have their these, they have now.
They have their farm.
They have their farm. They can do a lot better with some of these things. There are the issue of research fund from both government. I found out that if you take the US example, the volume of funding that is coming for research that are privately funded.
I was going to go there, but I just wanted you to land. But since you're there, let's just go in.
A friend of mine back in the US then was studying, has a master's in biotechnology. Some of the things they were working around were being funded by a biotechnology company.
That's right. Absolutely.
So we have banks in Nigeria too who may want to fund something in the fintech space.
Right.
We have the Nigerian police who may need a sociology research on why certain crimes are prevalent in certain areas, so that you can know how to deal with those crimes. Some of the problems we have with solving crimes in Nigeria is that we don't even understand the genesis, the environment, what created that crime. We don't even understand it. We just start jumping all over the old place, carrying guns and breaking people's door. What they do in some other societies, they study that crime, they study the environment, And that provides a basis for them to know how to deal with
and
it.
And they use the university.
And they use the university.
Through research.
Through research.
Funded research.
Funded research. Do you know how much money some universities made during COVID? Because government and other interested farmers, pharmaceutical companies, pumped money into research and got universities involved in all this research. Is that happening around here? What about endowment funds? What is going on with that? So these are some
there,
of
there
the
are
things.
Several ways.
There's also the tuition part of it anyway, which
that's our next protocol as a matter of fact, okay. As to, well, honestly, education anywhere in the world is tertiary education is not cheap. It's expensive.
Yeah.
Are we paying the right amount for education in this country?
No. Because there's a blanket assumption that everybody cannot afford it. And that assumption has been driving our approach to the issue of tuition. There are go to UNILAG now. Students have cars now. So those students too, they are being put in the same bucket as the daughter of a petty trader who can barely put up money to feed in a day. They are not in the same category. And there has been ways and means in which some other society have been able to apply some selectivity and ensure that people who need to be in the university who are brilliant but are poor can get education.
Because as it stands right now, it's as though we have everybody in universities, whether you're supposed to be there or not.
Or not.
And that's hurting the system.
It's hurting the system. There's a burden on the university. And the way, which is also part of the funding issue, if you go and watch the trajectory of how the number of students have grown in the Nigerian university, you'll be amazed. If you take a UNILAG with the first set of students that were 131 to over 60,000.
Kai.
to almost 60,000. That is a whole lot of growth.
It is.
As the income grew along that same pattern? No. As the budgetary provision grown along that same pattern? No. So there is a disconnect. And we must understand that it is not everybody that cannot pay. And people, as we're speaking, people who are negotiating to take their children from public university are already doing it. They are taking them to the private. In the private, they will be paying. These same students are currently in public university. But there's an assumption that everybody cannot pay.
What would you advise as we coast home finally on the program this morning? What would you advise? Charge for university education as we should charge?
Should find a way that is selective and is able to identify that the reality that some people can actually pay. And get them to pay. And those who cannot pay, that the system is able to help them. If you're brilliant, but the problem is that you cannot pay, you must not be left out of that system. So designing that kind of a system is part of what we need to work on in this country.
Should the government hands off totally?
I don't think it should hands off totally. I don't think we are at that level where you want to hands off totally. I'm not even sure whether we should hands off totally. At any level at all. But we must realize that government cannot on its own continue
fund this education. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, Olajide, thank you so much for doing justice to this conversation today. Thank you for coming on the show.
A pleasure is mine.